helps, Paul. Good afternoon. It is 3:34 on Tuesday, July 26, 2022. And this is time to review the fiscal year 23 tentative budget. And I am Commissioner Smith. Also present is Commissioner White, Commissioner Van Beek, Jen and Russ, our deputy clerk. And joining us is Clerk Yamamoto, Controller Wagner, and Kieran Donahue, our sheriff, is also joining us at the table. And yesterday we started these discussions on preparation to post a tentative budget, and we're just going to continue those conversations, ask questions, get clarification, take input, and any opposition to starting with Kieran Donahue since he's at the table?
What am I talking about?
I don't know.
I was reading
You're at the table. I love it.
No, but I'm going to be...
You want to read something?
I was reading emails, and I was going to write some notes on some other stuff I'm doing, but what would you like to know?
We could
start with some other ones that have had more time to respond, or I'm the one that generated questions for that, so...
You did have a lot of questions.
I did have a lot of questions. In order received.
Okay. Let's start there. You want to start with the July 25th email?
Sure.
You had some comments on that.
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I have a case of sciatica going on, so I can't sit for very long. So if I'm standing up, I'm not being rude. I'm just trying to alleviate the pain. So.
I stand up all the time. You are welcome to stand the whole time if you'd like. All right.
If you want to...
Well, Madam Chair.
Yes?
If we're going to go through all of this line by line, or
no.
I don't know how you're going to do it, but it would be nice if we had, if this regarding various individuals are named in this or something like that, it makes sure that everyone's here.
Right.
So if we all hear it at the same time.
Well, the first one was regarding the auditor's office and the clerk's budget. And they are here. Were there specific areas that you'd like to cover versus going line by line, or what are your hopes?
Well, I guess I was hoping these are not hard questions to answer. And so I think just for me, and it would be a board decision to have them come up and just go through and answer those questions. I didn't have an email response on that. That is the board's job, to evaluate the expenses and the budget.
In general, did you have a chance to review Commissioner Van Beek's email and questions? And did you have any basic agreement or dissension? Or, I mean, still I'm going to claim I'm the new guy. Last year, we had a suggested budget. The board supported moving that forward. I have been learning a little bit. If we want to make changes to some of the budgets, what's the best path forward on that?
Madam Chair, I saw the email, haven't had time to go through it line by line. My initial impression was related to the auditor's portion of the budget, the county's authority to levy property tax for an indigent fund has gone away. The county no longer has authority to levy property tax for indigent purposes. However, the county still has indigent medical responsibilities, including burials. We will still be a collection agency for the state, so we will still be sending out monthly statements to collect payments. So the county still has indigent medical responsibilities because there's no longer an indigent fund, those financial activities have been moved under the umbrella of the auditor for accounting purposes.
And I did see, Madam Chair,
go ahead,
in the indigent fund where that has, you talked about in your budget hearing. So my question was not so much that I understood that it was in the auditor's portion, but it's been budgeted at 20,000, but the actuals are much less than that. And so if you look at your budget to actuals on that, you know, it's about a $7,500 over budget on what your historical numbers show for that.
So essentially, in general, for the audience that's here, you went through Power Plan and you compared budget to actuals, and
yes,
you provided feedback on specific changes to budgets based off of those actuals.
Yes, because the question that was, or the statement that was made yesterday, is we're concerned about the taxpayer. I agree. And so as things get tighter and more restrictive for both citizens and the county, looking at the budget to actual and then being able to average those or come up with something that's close to what we're actually spending seems like a way to get closer on the amount of fund balance that we're going to retain and then what we're actually levying for property or an estimating in non-property tax revenue.
Well, Madam Chair, speaking specifically to burials, that's something that is required. The county is statutorily obligated to provide that in certain circumstances.
And that's not in question. So we understand that indigent comes, they make a presentation, the board approves for those burials, and the expense, it's expensed out. So the expense, again, for the last 2 years, in 2020 it was $11,360, in 2021 $12,590, but it was budgeted at $20,000. So we're over budgeting the expense on that. So we're either going to generate more fund balance or we're anticipating a bigger increase in the burials from indigent. And what I'm suggesting is that budgeted amount could be reduced to reflect the averages of those 2 years.
Madam Chair, I was in the middle of a thought there.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
We can't predict the number of burials in an upcoming fiscal year. And if we don't use the full 20,000, we don't spend the full 20,000. This budget was put together with zero property tax dollars, no property tax dollars. We have that statutory responsibility, and we cannot possibly predict exactly what we are going to need for fiscal year 2023 for burials. It's a budget. It's a plan. There is that responsibility rests upon the county.
And I understand what you're saying, but if we look at trends and averages, we should be able to get an estimated guess or come close. If we go over or under, then we can make those adjustments. But historically, this is not shown to expense out at more than 12,500. So as we look at and go through those budgets, to get closer, I think, is in the best interest, because here's what happens that I've been frustrated with as a commissioner. When there is revenue, contingency, whatever you want to call that, padding, margin, name it any way you want, but people have become possessive of that and said, that's mine, and it becomes a place to spend dollars that maybe aren't budgeted for, that come before the board, or the board is told, you can't tell me how to spend that money. It is the taxpayers' money. So to get as close as we can to an average, there are certain departments that have 12-year averages on their expenses. I think that represents good budgeting. And then to come in under, that's great budgeting. But to have some standard of, we should know approximately what it costs, given averages of airline expenses, hotel expenses, those kinds of things. So I would submit that some of those could be averaged out. And so if we're picking on travel, and I am, then we would look at who's planning to travel, what it costs, because registration fees are readily available, an average of what the hotel costs are and the airfare costs. And then we get really close. I get it. It's a guesstimate. But on some of this, our fund balance is showing that we are overestimating the amount needed for fund balance. And we could potentially offer a permanent property tax relief over a number of years to citizens that would reduce the amount of our fund balance.
Sheriff?
Madam Chair, I'm sure that the travel is more directed toward my office than anybody's, but just like the controller can't predict the number of deaths in there, we can't predict the number of inmates, we can't predict the number of arrests, we can't predict the number of prosecution trials, we can't predict any of these things. There is an average, but it's far better responsible, as far as I'm concerned, to have money there that we can use versus trying to steal it from another line when we go over that. And there's not been one time in my 10 years as a sheriff that we've ever exceeded our budget, ever. But as you point out, Zach, we're not stealing the money. The money gets turned back. It's the taxpayers' money, and it might be used for something else, like a capital improvement project or something of that nature, but it's not taking it from the taxpayer unless I'm completely all wet. And I would much rather have the plan that has a buffer, that we have money there if we need it, than not need it. I don't understand that philosophy. And I will address the travel. We saw extreme increases in prices for travel last year by airlines and hotels because of fuel costs for the airlines and availability. So that's a fluctuating market. And I have zero control over that. But at the same time, I have responsibilities to attend those meetings, if that's what you're referring to. And so I can't tell you what the airline ticket's going to be to Reno, Nevada, or Salt Lake, or anything. I have no idea. But that's why we budget, so we have money to have it in place. Am I completely wrong or not?
No, you're completely right. And we do a thorough job of vetting, reviewing, and planning. A budget is a plan. What really matters in the long run is what actually gets spent. And if we come in under budget because we're being more effective or we found a better way to do something, that's cash that is available for a future year, for property tax relief, or for human capital investment, or for investment. I don't think we want to create an environment where it becomes a use it or lose it mindset with the budget. We don't want to go there. We're not there right now. We have elected officials, department administrators coming in consistently under budget,
which means we may be over budgeting for certain line items. That's why we're looking at averages and trying to get as close as we can. And if there are things that are anomalies, then those items should be brought to the board for consideration. Board by statute has the right to examine all claims and warrants presented to the county, and there is an obligation to provide substantiation for those and to project, which we fail to see in a lot of those notes. So I believe that department heads and officials should provide comprehensive notes. And on the training, I agree with you, Sheriff. You need to go. You have no control over the fuel prices, but you would know who's coming. Your Marv and your office does a great job. I always enjoy reading what your officers provide and why they want to go get additional training that will benefit the citizens of Canyon County. But you know when those trainings are, and so you could put a projection in there that would identify who's going to be trained. It takes work, but I think that's work that the taxpayer appreciates in fairness and transparency. And it's work that the board needs in order to evaluate, because we're the last person, and digging through here is the right thing to do. It's what we're supposed to do. So thank you for being willing to answer the questions. This is just a round table discussion so that we get at the best and decision. Sheriff, on your budget, I know you haven't had time, but on some of your revenues, some of your projected non-property tax revenues are significantly underestimated. If those are underestimated and we have hard numbers already, which we do, then that would indicate that we would potentially overtax on property tax. So if non-property tax revenue is the first thing we spend, which is what I've heard over and over and over, what that's suggesting and implying is that what's left is property tax. That would represent overtaxation. If we had a plan for the taxpayer that says, here's our fund balance and here's where we plan to spend that would make sense. But I have been I will say at some level, disrespected for my position on the capital improvements plan in dedicating a portion of that for specified purposes. This is a different plan, but it, without a plan that identifies what the county needs in terms of maintenance or capital improvement projects, it becomes subject to pet projects that have not been planned or budgeted for. I think the taxpayer deserves the right to say, here's the prioritization of funds and how we'd like to spend them.
I'd like to hear what one of those pet projects are from any office other than the commissioners.
And if you're waiting for somebody else, I'm just going to jump in, because when we had the conversation, it was for DMV or for dedicated funds to the jail or for an enhanced voting experience. And the enhanced voting experience took priority. Ryan Stender had plans and I guess spent time. I'm not throwing you under the bus, but there was some assertion that there was going to be a second DMV location. That took second place. I asked the sheriff in a meeting, you're okay with prioritizing voter equipment over a jail? You said yes. I still think the taxpayer, if there was that input being taken, I'm not sure they would prioritize it the same way.
Well, Madam Chair and Commissioner Van Beek, the reason I said yes, if I recall the conversation, is that the voter experience is a tangible thing that we could get to where the jail is not. And so I said, yeah, we're not going to get a jail for years here. We don't have the funding possibilities. We don't have the bonding support by the people. We don't have a local option tax passed by the legislature. So there's no reason spending a lot of time or money on it when the clerk could actually get something done on the voter, on the election process. That makes common sense to me. This is unattainable. Yours was attainable. And I mean, I was just briefly looking through your questions that you just sent me before I came down here.
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly look at burn JAG grant and things like that, where you're stating the revenues are going to come in exceedingly. But even at that, most of that stuff we track pretty well. And I know Dave is here, the chief isn't down here, but things like 911 funds, and I mean, those are designated funds. We'd have to go back and look at this, but I think that I have to agree with the clerk and the controller on the fact that you specifically are always wanting, making it very plain, I shouldn't say always wanting, but make it plain that you're encouraging capital investment plans or projects, that we should plan for those capital investments. I don't disagree with you. I think that an administration building is a very good idea, a very good place to start. I think it relieves a lot of pressure for the courts. I think it relieves pressure for my office. I know the chairwoman yesterday said moving 911 services to the other building. Those are all very costly, but I think it's the right track to take. So I think that when we look at what the controller just said, and I'm not speaking for you, Zach, by any means, but when we have that excess revenue that we turn back, if you will, it's kind of a, quote, turn back that money, but then that money's rerouted to potential capital investment or human capital investment, I think that's smart management and good management. I don't think the taxpayer's getting hurt there, because as the clerk pointed out yesterday, we're looking out for the taxpayer, and that's part of our job is management and looking long-term solutions to look out for the taxpayer. They're paying that money, so we're going to manage it into those areas that we need it if we didn't use it for the A budget or for prosecution or what have you. So I guess I'm a little muddy as to why you're so concerned about, and I don't take this wrong, but almost like the minutia of this budget, where we're talking about $5,000, $10,000 here, I just don't see that. I don't hear the public complaining about that. Maybe you do.
Well, yes, we're in a different position than you are. And for the record, if we look historically at what we've dedicated to human capital, and I'm not saying that we're done looking at that with a qualified wage and compensation analyst, but over the last 5 or 6 years, it's been more than $30 million that has been dedicated to improving the salaries and wages here. It's difficult because of the climate that we're in, but the capital improvement fund that we had this last year should have continued to receive. When we're in a position of excess revenue like we're in, there is provision by statute for the Board of County Commissioners to direct that revenue to a dedicated source. That is not happening. So to your point, I tour the jail regularly. Mm-hmm. We go on a quarterly jail inspection. I've been a big supporter publicly that we need a new facility. This is fully depreciated. I support that. What will not happen is if we do not, as a board, direct those funds to flow in on an ongoing basis without being taken out, we could have left the money in the account that we used. We zeroed that line out to provide for the Fair Expo building. Will that return revenue to the county? The answer is yes. And so where we're in excess revenue, why did we zero that line out? If we're gonna talk about what makes sense and what doesn't, that made no sense to zero that capital improvement line. Okay. And I have heard a member of the legal staff say, that is a really stupid idea that won't work. That's disrespectful to this board. That should not be tolerated.
Well, and Madam Chair and Commissioner Van Beek, I wasn't in on that conversation, but I will, again, I don't disagree that we need money set aside for capital investment projects of this county. I know that Ricky, I don't know if he's in here, I think he told me the other day we spent, I don't know, $80,000 on the jail, just, you know, maintenance things this year, whether they were budgeted or whether they weren't budgeted. I think it goes back to Zach's point that if we need to have that money in there in case we need it. We all know it's a dilapidated building. So I think that's more reason on this column to say, no, we ought to have some money in our plan to address those kind of needs. The compensation or the human resource investments we've made, I think you just said $30
million. It's in excess
and
of
And we discussed at length yesterday, that's not enough because we're woefully behind everybody else. And so that, again, taking care of the taxpayer, when we're investing their money into our people, all of our nearly 1,000 people, and we watch those people walk out the door, that's a slight to our taxpayers.
But it will never be enough if we have pressure from outside forces to do non-conforming increases in the middle of a budget year. So the time to look at that is now.
Right.
With a qualified person mm-hmm. and without that kind of pressure. I get what you're saying. So we need to have something that takes care of people that put their life on the line every day, people that have master's degrees working for $16 an hour or could qualify for subsidized programs. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So I don't think we're too far from being on the same page, but I'm gonna go back again. If we take care of the little things, there is no reason in looking at this that these numbers should not be in line. So you can call it the minutia, but really what we're asking people out there, average wage in Canyon County is about $45,000. That's $22 an hour. Mm-hmm. So if we're asking people making $22 an hour to subsidize other people making $100,000 a year, there's some inequity there that has to be looked at. There are benefits to working at Canyon County. It should be.
What does that mean though when you said that we're asking them to subsidize?
Well, maybe that's the wrong word. When people at $45,000 a year are being asked to give more, there are people that.
What does that mean?
Well,
to give more.
Well,
who's the people that we're asking?
The citizens, because when their average wage is $45,000, it may not be that high.
But do they have the opportunity to apply for a job here?
They do, but
they're choosing.
Not everyone can. And now more than 50% of people in the United States are government workers. So government does not generate a profit. Hardworking people generate the profit. So we are taking from people that make a profit.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Van Beek, I think that's a pretty strong word that we're taking from them. We're not in the business
taxes.
To make a profit. We're a government,
right.
But we do pay taxes. I pay taxes. You pay taxes.
Yes.
To provide services, and I'm glad to pay my taxes,
yes.
So I can call the ambulance service when I was dying, and they showed up, and the firemen, they saved my life. I'm real glad to pay that ambulance tax and the fire tax. But, and I think the chairwoman just said, you know, people can come to work here. I don't think that they even have to come to work here. You can work at Shinden and State Street, whatever. Not Shinden and I can't remember the cross street. Del Taco is $18.70 an hour. $18.70. You're working at the taco joint, and you're not risking your life. You're not working in the court clerk's office. You're not working for the court. I mean, yes, they've chosen their line of the work they want to do. but we are tasked with providing all the services they enjoy, and the government and the judicial process and everything. I don't think that's taking from the people. I just don't. And
well, I would submit that people making $45,000 a year, there are many people that make more than that, some make less, at the county, that they would want us to be good stewards of everything. And in a forum during the election, every single candidate, when asked what's the most important thing, mm-hmm. it is accounting for every taxpayer dollar. I think that's a reasonable expectation, as close as we can get. So to get the budgeting numbers on the projections for averages on the revenues and the expenses, that should be a no-brainer, a non-starter on a conversation.
We do account for every penny, and we have looked for pennies. We've looked for 99 cents before. should start out with, need to have a fundamental understanding of the budget. And that is, number one, traditionally, the Canyon County budget is 10% unfunded. In other words, the budget is more than what we take from the taxpayers. How can we do that? Number one, normally it's not spent. And if need be, we burn some fund balance, which we have done. So money not spent, yes, that rolls over. So we've got 3 years in a row where the tax request has remained the same and actually gone down a little bit. We have 5 years where we figured out what our expenses were, what we needed, and then subtracted money from that from our tax request. There's $5 million of that happened over 2 years. We're in a position now, because of the severe under employment we have here and our expenses being down, and the sales tax being more than anticipated, we're in a great place. Okay, should we could take $50,000 and put it in a jail fund. We could do that.
It's not enough, though.
Huh?
It's not enough, though.
You could take $40 million and put it into a capital expense fund.
Okay, throw any number you want out. I don't care what it is. How much do you think a jail's going to cost?
You have to look at the annual debt service, and then you have to dedicate a revenue stream after that to fund the annual payment. So it's a coordinated effort.
Yeah, I see. And who's going to pay for that?
We're already paying for it. It's just your plan
is
different.
No, we're going to build a new jail. Who is going to pay for it, and who's going to vote for it?
The citizens.
Do you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
It won't happen if we don't start. And if NAMPA can float a bond for $163 million and have their citizens say, thank you, may I have another, there is some marketing that's being done there and some interfacing with citizens that we could look at that model and say, how do we get there? I think there's some things that we could do to improve that, but not starting.
I think you should ask the taxpayers of Canyon County if they want a sideline. I don't care what number. I don't care if it's 5, 10, 40, 50. If they want a sideline that, we can get more interest now.
But we've already done that. That's the point that I think, as much as people say, we have to save for the entirety of the jail. No, you don't.
No, I understand that. We got to get to a point where we could pass a bond. Can you tell me where that is?
When we have a dedicated funding source that cannot be used for something else, we can do that by statute under 31-1008. That's already allowed by statute.
No one's arguing that.
And okay. Where is that magic money, or does that come out of Canyon County taxpayers' pockets?
It's already being collected from Canyon County taxpayers in the form of excess revenue, whether it's property or not.
Oh, no, there's not enough of that money to talk about.
Can I ask a question on something that you said?
You said
traditionally 10% is not funded, and then I'm trying to clarify for the minutes, too, and for myself to process what that meant, and you also went on to say you subtract so much from the tax request, and I think it's tied together. Is that historically, when you guys were building the budget, 10% is removed from the tax request? That's where you come up with how much is normally requested for the levy rate?
I'll let Zach answer that. If I don't like his answer, I'll chip in.
The budget is balanced. It's 100% funded. 10% of that funding is derived from fund balance.
Normally,
from cash already in the bank.
Okay.
10% of the balanced budget comes from
a draw on the fund balance.
A budgetary draw.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is that 10 million has actually not been used. It's not been spent. It's used to balance the budget.
Okay. Makes more sense.
I like
sense.
That answer.
Good job, you passed. Okay. So I have reviewed some of Commissioner Van Beek's emails. What it looks like to me is, besides, I'm assuming you're going to go through our departments as well as
working on it,
all the EOs. So, and the only one that's a revenue concern at this point is the sheriff's. But then these are focused on B budget expenses, correct?
Yes, except for the sheriff, who we are actually in receipt of, because, for instance, the SCAP grant that we received today is approximately $17,000. Well, you have it budgeted for 10. It was 27 and some change in there. So that accurate reflection, that we can do that. I think we should do that.
My comments in general, I'll just put those out there. I'm okay with if each of the offices and departments looked at tightening up some of the budget to bring those numbers closer to actual. I do think that it's a little bit of a small exercise because, as we all know, human capital is our biggest expense in our A budget. So that's where most of our money is. During the budget meetings, I tried to focus on some of those positions that have been open for years. I would like, in this budget, before I leave office, to know, I want those positions either funded at a level that they, like, if those positions aren't needed anymore, I want them removed, or if they've changed, I want to know that. And what level will it take to fill those positions and have that specifically in there? And then I cannot personally wrap my head around the zero property tax request yet, just in fairness to you. I think that we, going back to comments we received yesterday, I completely agree with. I'm really concerned, I shared that with you, about escrow accounts. I'm very concerned about that, and I'm also very concerned that we have very specific needs in the community that need to be met before we do that, related to capital. And so I would be much more inclined to allocate those funds for those types of capital improvements, tighten up some of these B budget items so that we can reduce the property tax request, but not eliminate it. That's where I'm at. Sheriff?
Madam Chair, can I just address your first part of that, not the second part? I know you have concern on these unfilled positions, and you'd like to get those removed, is what I heard you just say.
Removed or corrected, fixed.
But again, just from my office, I can't speak for the rest of the folks, and I know the prosecutor is in a little bit of the same position I'm in. I need every one of those positions filled. I need them filled, and if you get rid of them.
But don't lose sight of the sentence that include the part of my sentence that included they either need removed or they need funded to a level where they can actually be filled. If you need them,
they should be funded
at a level that can be filled.
And that, thank you, Madam Chair, and that would be back to yesterday's conversation about the compensation increases, COLAs, those types of things. Am I following your track now?
It's part of that, but some of those positions are so underfunded, you haven't filled them in years. And
I agree, but I need them.
I know that, but if you need them that bad, we need to figure out how to get them filled. And doing the same thing that we've been doing for 5 years or 10 years isn't working. So that's my point.
I don't disagree with you, and I will reflect on something you said yesterday. And that was the leadership over the years as a board, not necessarily you, but over the years, we've never addressed that nearly enough. And now we're in a position to address it. And I'm paraphrasing what you said, but this is the time to correct that, because the way for us to fill those positions is to pay adequate wages, competitive wages, if you will, to a point where once we get the applicants, and it will attract those applicants to fill those positions. So I think we're talking on the same paragraph even, but it does really go back to the compensation amounts and setting those salary amounts to where people would be willing to take on those positions, which we desperately need to fill. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm just trying to, I think I'm supporting you. I think we're in agreement. I just don't want to see those positions go away, and then we've got some applicants, but we don't have the positions. Now we got to go back to the controller and the clerk and say, hey, what do we do here? I guess that's where I'm at. So I don't disagree that we've spent years funding them. I just don't think, I think we spent years not funding them correctly.
Right.
Are we close to the same sentence now?
Yeah, but so my feedback is you got to go back to that table right now and look at what are those open positions and what is the gap? Like, what is happening with those positions? I still need this position and it can't be filled because of this. And so how do we get it filled? What is missing in our community because we haven't been able to fill that position?
And I we will do that. I think it's going to come down to the monetary value, and I think if the prosecutor were here, he would say the same thing on prosecuting attorneys, et cetera. I think it's the same. I think we're all in the same boat, but we will definitely take a look at it.
Madam Chair?
And really quick, I think that addressing the A budget issues and trying to tighten up a little bit of the B budget to help.
Right. That's a good point. Because what you tighten up on that end can be spent for salaries, but if we have a lot of margin in there, then we're going to request, even if it's 10%, and maybe we don't need a 10% fund balance year after year, we should be able, by statute, those revenues have to be provided by May. That's been difficult to get, but you have averages that know what your year over year will project for that. And even yesterday, your comment was you're projecting a certain fund balance for fiscal year 2023.
Just for the record, we did get a presentation from you on the revenues. I do have that. I'm clear on what the revenues are.
Well, so I'd like to make a comment here, and that would be, I guess I really don't understand what we're talking about on the B budget side of things and tightening that up. Okay, we can do that. We're talking about, you know, a few bucks here and there. But when you compare that, we're talking about zero tax request because of the situation we're in. To me, that shows some responsible government. And not only have we not been spending all that, but our tax requests have not been completely outlined. What's happened was our other non-property tax revenues has come in way bigger than projected. I think that's going to change at some point here. But I think we could spend a lot of time going through every B budget item, knock some off here and there, and at the end of the day, I don't know what difference it's going to make. Because we even that out sooner or later.
Madam Chair.
Just really sure my answer is it makes a difference, because I do want to increase the A budget to take care of our employment issues. And so you have to give and take somewhere. And so if we can take a little bit from B and add it to A, to the taxpayer, I think that makes a difference.
Madam Chair.
I don't know.
So if we took, do you think there's $1 million that could come off the B budget?
I have not gone into detail like Commissioner Van Beek has.
Do you think there's $1 million that could come off the B budget?
Yes, I do. So you're going to take it off the B budget where it doesn't get spent, and then you're going to actually spend it on the A budget side.
Right. And
only if people are telling me that we need the A. You're smiling, but you're the one that's saying that I need those A positions. If we need people providing service, then yeah, the money should be spent providing a service.
But for clarification, Zach, you're not talking about $1 million going to those salary increases for our unfilled positions. Even mine and the prosecutor wouldn't equal $1 million.
Well, I'm a little confused on, we're talking about raising the level of the unfilled positions. What about the filled positions?
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it.
So my point would be, shave $1 million off of B. I'm not sure that could be done or not. Well, it could be done, but would it be prudent? I don't know. The number that was thrown out yesterday of $7 million for the A budget. The clerk's objected budget is $4 million increase. And I'm telling you, what's going to bring people into the sheriff's office and the prosecutor's office and my office, I don't believe $7 million is going to come anywhere close to cutting it. I don't think that'll do it.
Madam Chair.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it'll do it because it goes back to the thing that everyone keeps bringing up. If you can sell tacos for $18 an hour, why would I put myself in the jail or even honestly in the DMV? Those poor, I think it's mostly ladies, but women and men get screamed at over and over again. And like, why? Like, you have to ask yourself, why do we subject ourselves to that? And a lot of people decide, and even probation officers, why?
Don't forget driver's license.
Like, it's such a, all of Canyon County, like all of these government service jobs are such thankless jobs. You have to be a willing person to, I want to give back to my community. I want to be a part of it. I get that. But we're still competing against the burnout of government. And so we do have to fund it at a level that keeps them here. Or again, we go back to just consistently training people over and over again.
Madam Chair, I greatly value and appreciate our personnel. We are in the business of providing services. We have to have trained, capable staff. In order to pay a $30,000 salary, you need $50,000.
Right.
$30,000 is the salary. There's $12,000 on top of that for health insurance. There's $4,000 on top of that for Percy. To fund a $30,000 salary, you need $50,000.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
So your great question, it's the Benghazi question. What difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. It makes a difference if you're a taxpayer. It makes a difference if you're trying to hire people and you're having difficulty. And the culture here, our Yelp rating is a C. So I think we need to look at what's causing that C. C is average. C gets a degree, but is it stellar? It's not. So what else besides that can we do as a county, as leaders, to enhance that? I think there's still room for improvement. And then our HR director has committed to looking at customer service. That's the hot spot for all of those. But those positions in the county should not be struggling internally to have competition between offices because there's a difference in the pay bands. So to go from one office to the other because the other one pays more and it's the same position, we're going to eliminate that. That will help.
That's what the comp plan was all about.
But there was inequity in the comp plan.
Well, sure, there always is, but it helped.
Well, we're going to get somebody in-house that will help us with that. And then specifically, clerk, I have a question for you. One of the questions under your elections budget, it's your office building budget. You've still included $175,000. If we revise this budget and look at building a second administration building, do we need to include that? In your budget, if it were tighter, you have $200,000 of margin, including that $175,000 that we need to evaluate and talk about. If if we don't plan for those things, if then that's a different question. But we have ARPA funds that we could use, and if you take that out, you've easily got $200,000. That's one office. I would submit that we have at least $1 million in the B budget that we could go through if people were committed to their budgets. I believe that every department head, every elected official should know their budget intimately. They should know and be able to plan on anticipated revenues so that our expenses meet our revenues, not our revenues meet our expenses. That's one way to do it. It's a different way of looking at it. But they should be able to come to the board, say, I have a plan, here's my revenues, do you think it'll work? And then we contact the auditor.
Don't we already do that?
Not
in with
that
you
order,
in our workshops?
No.
With you guys in our workshops?
Let's go there. Explain to us what your vision of revenue-based budgeting is.
Every budget season, every department head would know on historical trends, this is what your allocation is. Build your budget to meet this level of revenue, because we know historically what our property and non-property tax revenue is going to be. I did ask for that information earlier. Could you please break out, like it's done in the Ada County budget, where the funding source is for each of those agencies? So we have, Elda knows what her cigarette and her lottery, all that. She's got averages that she builds her budget on because she knows across a period of time how to estimate those revenues and build her budget. I think that's good budgeting. So for the sheriff's office, get the revenues in there that actually reflect what you're receiving. And if you don't know, use an average and a trend to get there.
Commissioner Van Beek, I believe we already do that. I'm not trying to be facetious, but I believe we already do that. And the number of revenues coming in, like Burn JAG grant or SCAP grant, they're always a volatile, depends on what's available that year. And obviously that type of money can only be spent on certain types of things, just like 911 funds. That to me is like a very limited amount of our budget. Mm-hmm. The bigger part of our budget is, of course, Justice Fund, which is property tax and sales tax that whatever, to make our A budget. So I would submit that we do that. I think we do a pretty good job. You're stating that we don't today, but
I'm saying that I'm, and that would be a misstatement. I'm not saying we don't do a good job. The biggest room in the house is a room for improvement.
Okay.
And I'm saying we have room, I think, to budget closer.
Okay, and I'll accept that. I just, again, when we're talking about Burn JAG and SCAP, we don't even know what that's going to be. Like you said today, we finally find out what it's going to be. That's a week and a half before you have to have a
signed. And it's 2020 numbers, and Marv said you missed the application deadline, so next year we already know it's going to be zero.
Could be.
Whatever. So.
So we, I think that the best case way to move forward is to, I would just ask each of the EOs to look at some of these, see if we can tighten up the B, make sure that our A request is really solid, and maybe another conversation, and let's all agree on a path forward for payroll.
Madam Chair, again, not being facetious, but we are 10 days away from you signing the budget.
We don't have to sign it on that day, and I do know that that's the date that we wanted, but we can push it out.
Okay, I guess my point is, if this was such a big matter, why were we not talking about this back in June or something when we were doing workshops? My office is busy, you're busy, these guys are busy. We can take a look at it, but I can't promise you I'm going to spend a ton of time trying to narrow this down when I've got other matters at hand. I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we're at the midnight hour for the budget. In my view, I'm not the finance guy. These guys are the finance guys. But
well, you also know that we also have a lot of work to do if we are not going to, I mean, we have to decide what to do on the zero property tax request. Yeah. And I mean, if we don't do that, how much work is that going to require for your office at this point for any changes?
It'll require work, but we'll get it done.
And
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
I'm going to toss a couple more ideas out there. There is an idea that I've spoken with the HR director about. I'm not sure I have it clearly understood, but there was a suggestion by this board to incorporate a COO to help manage the department directors. I think that this board's responsibility, as much as the intention was good, I think that having other elected officials, that's not allowed by statute, delegation of authority. So to have someone that could assist with the things that they need, I wanted to get the board input on that. I also believe that the board needs...
including that in the budget?
Yes, correct.
And both of us have shown support of that, so that should be added back in.
Okay. And then I believe that this board, your point is well taken, Sheriff, that we're at the 11th hour. I'm not judging anyone else, but I can tell you that I have been here mm-hmm. consistently working, managing the best I can, and I haven't had a full board for discussion of this budget. Things happen, life happens. Again, I'm not judging, but I'm saying I have been here, and to the best of my ability, I have tried to manage those things that happen. But I would submit that this board needs a financial advisor. It's allowed by statute. I have asked every year that I've been here to have the production of a budget that's reflective of this county being the second largest county in the state of Idaho. I inherently think we have room for greater transparency and explanation. The information that I was given back, neither a taxpayer or a board of county commissioners is going to dig through the CAFO to find the information that I requested. That simply isn't going to happen. And it is, as I stated yesterday, I believe a big disservice to taxpayers and to the board. I would submit that we would need a financial officer, which could be incorporated with that position for a COO. I would also submit that this board needs independent conflict counsel. So if we had a business administrator with a legal degree that was independent, we could manage some of those issues where the prosecutor can't get to that one. I would take the PCN from that department. We could have a virtual team. I have had other offices and departments indicate that the level of service, just maybe because of the volume of work, I have no idea what it is, but if we had experts in some of those subfields legally, it could relieve pressure on the PA and we would reduce our Percy. You've indicated it's a $20,000 investment for Percy and benefits on a $30,000 a year annual salary or hourly job. So, yes.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, I'm just trying to be clear, get clarity from what you're stating. I was following up with the county manager.
Okay.
And I think I heard the chairman say that the three of you are in support of doing a county manager possibility, and it's just
no. So okay. We need to be very clear. County manager is not anything that this board has supported.
Okay.
County manager right. relinquishes authority of the commissioners. So it's very clearly I am not supportive of a county okay. manager.
And neither am I.
I am supportive of a chief operating officer that has no authority. However, they do have a direct relationship with each of our department heads. They would have working time to work on projects or priorities of the board. They would have time to work on
policy.
Some of these policies or budget items. They have no authority.
Okay. Thank you for the clarity. I thought that's what
yep.
you meant, but I must have misunderstood it.
Yep.
And then the financial officer...
That is Commissioner Van Beek. At some point, I can see the importance of that. That's not on the table for me today.
For me, just sitting here, I believe we have financial officers. That's what I think, but I'll move on. And I know the prosecutor's not here, and I certainly don't speak for the prosecutor, but to have independent legal counsel goes against statute, does it not?
It does. The state statute under 312604 states that under prosecution, they can advise the board when we request it. There's a caveat in there. The civil side of that says all civil, but there is precedent in the state of Idaho in different counties where certain prosecutors relinquish that authority when they because they can't cover it all. There's areas of expertise in law that there's an amicable partnership that the prosecutor allows, and so
And you do know the PA has not relinquished that authority. So until he comes to us and wants to relinquish that authority, us having the conversation isn't helpful.
Well, what could be helpful, what I said yesterday was there is a partnership that could be had. So if he's already started that process, there was a contract, an MOU presented for independent conflict counsel to review contracts.
For him.
For him.
That he contracted.
However, we have contracts.
Still through him and for him.
Correct, but the board has a contract, one in particular I can think of, that has been caught in that time warp of the things that they have to do. The contract deadline, the bid expired, and the board had to go out for rebid. That was an increase of $22,000. That is money that could have been used, and so there's a timing issue. So I think as we look at ways that COVID has changed, we need to look at the best and most efficient and greatest return on investment, because there's service provided internally between offices and departments, and it has to be timely.
Madam Chair and Commissioner Van Beek, again, I am not the prosecutor, cannot speak for the prosecutor, but I would believe that as well as I know him and the chief deputy prosecutor, they would never agree to giving away that power, and I would never ask them to do so. And is it, I would submit to you, Commissioner Van Beek, is have you thought about the possibility that because he cannot fill those positions because of the salary levels that they're at, is that's why he's having a hard time getting the contracts done?
That's
part of the problem here.
And Madam Chair, there are people leaving for less money.
Sure.
That is, yes. And so I think, again, pay is one factor.
Money, the ones that we've heard that left for less money left for significant less workloads. And so it's a quality of life thing.
And one left this, your office, for another reason.
Yeah.
I would just caution, you need the prosecutor in this conversation,
yeah.
Not the sheriff.
But, I agree.
Quite honestly, there's not a board majority to move that forward. So we don't need to keep having that conversation. So,
you know, here we are talking about cutting the B budget, trimming that down. Okay. And then in the same breath, we're talking about adding a bureaucracy. We're talking about a few hundred thousand dollars here that we're adding to the bureaucracy of Canyon County.
I would submit that we are here to provide services. The board is behind in land use decisions, in policy development. That policy development is creating exposure, and we have unmanaged risk in certain areas that could be enhanced by policy that does not get moved forward. So I understand what you're saying, that I'm not here to grow government. I'm a really conservative person because I've been self-employed. But the argument is fair. If we're going to talk about the budget, then let's get the budgeting tighter. Let's get people to do budget to actuals. Let's get historical data to base our decisions on. And let's get transparency so that taxpayers are not frustrated by looking at a budget that contains no narrative, no budget to actuals, and is difficult to read. It's difficult. So if, as I've already tossed out there, we could get that information, that's okay with me. But we would have to normalize a reduction in duties in one place would transfer a portion of those salaries to meet the need somewhere else. I'm asking, can we please get this? And the answer has been consistently no. That ball is not in my court.
So I think that there's also a good enough record. I won't take your comments personal. The COO position, there is a lot of evidence that it increases efficiency, and I believe in it. And so, yeah, I think that we can tighten up the B budget and still feel good about saying that I want a position that will help improve efficiency. We have two departments under the board right now that are could use, especially when a department head leaves, it would be nice to have a point of contact that is consistent to help manage. There are so many reasons for it, so I'm not going to belabor that. But what I do know is I have to exit this meeting because of a commitment to my children. And I would like to continue this discussion. We have a community input meeting on Friday at 1:30, but I would like to, if the board's okay with it, continue this meeting to Friday, so that depending on the amount of community input, we can continue having additional discussions.
And I'm in favor of that, Madam Chair, and I think that you and the sheriff have come to a good place of consensus that if everyone could go back and look at how to make that tighter. It is, there's only so much. We are in revenue excess right now, but in the meantime, I think the board should also look at a proposal. If there's going to be changes to the suggested budget, there is a timeline.
What is the total B budget? Do you have that handy?
Madam Chair, while you're looking at that, can I toss another?
No, because I got to leave. So okay. Tossing out more ideas isn't
okay.
Madam Chair, right now the total B budget is just under $46 million.
So a $1 million reduction on that isn't very much. So if we asked people to go and tighten up their B budget by 10%, that's a $4 million savings, which then we're talking about payroll increasing another $4 million possibly. So that would be the way to
I wouldn't call it fat, but we can cut all the fat. We can cut meat. We can do anything you want. Again, my suggested budget is zeroed property tax, so kind of doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't, but if we want it, payroll needs budget needs adjusted more than the $3,000 a person. We, as EOs, agreed on that at the last meeting. We didn't agree on a set number. We didn't know what that magic number was. I agree. However, I don't want to increase the budget this year, me personally. So if we can reduce the B budget to add to the A budget and invest in our employees, that's what I want to do.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Van Beek.
Is it possible for the board to continue this discussion? I think there needs to be some board discussion before the input meeting so that we're prepared with some questions. So maybe that could be continued then with the setting the meeting on Friday.
What were you going to say?
I think that you can't even we're talking about the budget. We can't even talk about your own household budget because from Monday to Friday, that staples that you need in your pantry could increase by 42%. That's a way, and with inflation at 9.1, how are we going to do the B budget? Just leave everything where it's at when inflation has gone up, when gas and tires and parts for lawnmowers and paint and carpet squares and glass for windows. I don't know. There's some things about it that are, it's just common knowledge if you bring it down on just a personal level that a budget is a plan. You're right. It's like the comp plan, you know. People say, is that a law? No, it's a plan. It is a law that it's balanced. But I don't know how with inflation, like it is right now, and just like you said, who wants to put your neck on the chopping block and say what inflation is going to be when we pass the final budget in that public hearing? We can set that right here, and we can do all of this and argue and discuss and have good information, and everybody weighs in and everything. but it doesn't change the fact that a budget is a plan. And when we are in a position, because for years past, the history of Canyon County is conservative, okay? Now, there are some years, maybe it's just been we've overlooked things in for the sake of that word, conservative, okay? So sometimes that's not exactly the best option. But right now, we're in, this is uncharted waters. So you can look back at 20 and 21, and you can even look back at 22. But I'm telling you, if you're using all of that stuff as we move forward with the way the economy is right now, it's not going to work that way. So what you have to do is you plan for the unexpected. Therein lies that wiggle room or whatever. I don't know what people call it. Slush, comfort zone, or pillow, or whatever it is. In the mattress money, who knows, under the chair cushion, in the sofa, whatever. But that's what a budget does. A budget allows for those things that we don't know are going to come up. We don't know when there's a windstorm that will blow the roof off of the new, that this old admin building over here, something like that. So you can't take the last 3 years, okay, well, let's just add $5. I mean, I'm being more simplistic. That wasn't even suggested or said.
Madam Chair, Commissioner White, to your point and to end this meeting, if we were from a financial standpoint, in my opinion, if Canyon County was accused of any wrongdoing, it has been because we've been too conservative.
Madam Chair, I want to respond. I'm going to pick a specific example. I do disagree with you because in the expense line, for instance, under the field services budget, which I have spent time, if you have not, I would encourage you to do that. And here is where it's at. People know how to budget. I really appreciated going through Dave Ivers. He did an excellent job notating. Thank you. When I went to your service contract line, you had every item in there and a budgeted amount for that. You provided a 35% margin. I'm asking you to reduce that to 10%. That would be a high for that line for 3 years. The items where there's capital construction, the margin in that should belong to facilities, because there are years when either people don't plan and don't turn those requests into Ricky, or if there's cost overruns, those are his to manage. I would submit that the same thing is true for fleet. We should not be leaving money in the department's budget. Mark typically comes in under that, but when that line item is not exhausted, he either has to write a purchase order using different line items, or it creates margin in that. He should have the money to do that. IT should have the money to do that. Those 577-100 accounts, I'm going to go through and, to the best of my ability, match up and make sure that the recommendations from IT are match what's put in those accounts. If they don't, those lines should be stripped to zero, because it creates an area of cushion that is a disservice to the taxpayer. They have a replacement schedule and it should be followed, or that line should be stripped out, or if there's an emergency, they have a contingency line.
Can I get a motion to continue this meeting to Thursday?
So moved.
Let's do 2:30.
So moved, and second.
Motion by Commissioner White and a second by Commissioner Van Beek to continue this to Thursday at 2:30. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. That is in the middle of a public hearing that I hope gets over early.
Oh.